This weekend marks the start of the peak summer travel season.
It's the favorite season for airlines because it's their most profitable. Planes are fuller and fares are higher, as passengers are well aware. This summer, there's the usual snarls that you're going to have in terms of weather, as well as just the crowds. But this summer, there's going to be some extras which you haven't seen in previous years.
Plus, a proposal to roll back protections for transgender patients and the mixed blessing of receiving the Medal of Honor. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our story on summer travel, here are some other top stories we're following today. New rules proposed by the Trump administration could roll back protections set under the Obama administration for transgender patients. Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman explains.
In 2016, the Obama administration put out this rule saying that there is a provision in the Affordable Care Act that says that sex discrimination is banned in all healthcare settings, and they went ahead and said that applies to transgender people as well. That applies to you if you're being discriminated on the basis of your gender identity. And the Trump administration today rolled back that law. They said, you know, the Obama administration's reading of the Affordable Care Act of saying sex discrimination includes protections for transgender people is wrong. This is part of a broader administration effort to try to, you know, narrow the scope of what is sex discrimination. You know, there's this very active debate in the courts among advocates about, you know, whether you're being discriminated on the basis of your sex. If someone is denying you health care on the basis of you being transgender, if someone is saying, you know, you can't go to the bathroom that comports with your gender identity, that they're not going to hire you because of your gender identity. There's a whole host of things, you know, in the military. And the Trump administration has taken this stance. They put out legal opinions saying, we do not believe that, you know, discrimination against gender identity is sex discrimination. And they've really gone full throttle on sort of implementing that view. And this is just the latest case of that.
Hackman says the proposed changes are likely to face legal challenges. And as we reported in this morning's edition of What's News, British Prime Minister Theresa May says she will resign effective June 7th. The decision comes after May failed to get support for her Brexit plan, which was put to a vote three times. The Wall Street Journal's Stephen Fidler has more on what comes next, starting with finding a new prime minister.
The prime minister is the leader of the party that can command a majority in the House of Commons. So it's up to the Conservative Party to find the next leader of the UK. And the Conservative Party is very pro-Brexit and very pro-hard Brexit, a decisive Brexit, an abrupt break with the EU if that's necessary. So it's quite possible that the next British Prime Minister will favour, or at least will campaign in the party on the basis that he'd be willing to leave the EU without a deal. Then we could probably expect the new Prime Minister to go in the autumn to Brussels and try and renegotiate the deal. Well, good luck with that. He'd probably be faced with the same answer that Theresa May got when she tried to renegotiate it, and they will say, yes, we'll tweak it, but we are not going to fundamentally alter it. So we will probably be left around October, when the UK is now due to leave, with the same conundrum that we had it in March. The UK probably without a new deal, Parliament unwilling to vote through a deal, and the prospect that a no-deal exit could happen, even though really nobody seems to want it, that's the default. So we're going to have a groundhog-type day situation.
Likely contenders to succeed Theresa May as Prime Minister include former London Mayor Boris Johnson and former Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab. The Trump administration has invoked a provision of American arms control laws that authorizes billions of dollars in weapons sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The Wall Street Journal reports that the sale includes 22 separate deals worth $8 billion. The decision, which comes amid heightened tensions with Iran, allows the administration to circumvent Congress. Earlier on Friday, President Trump announced he would send an additional 1,500 troops to the Middle East. He told reporters they were being sent mostly for protective reasons. This year, the nation's air travel network is facing new challenges. The Wall Street Journal's Charlie Turner has more on what to expect during the peak summer travel season.
Memorial Day weekend marks the unofficial start of summer and the start of the summer travel season. The good news is that a record number of people, 257 million, are expected to fly with U.S. Airlines this summer. That's according to trade group Airlines for America. The bad news is that flyers will face several constraints on the nation's air travel network that are creating more headaches for airlines than in years past. Joining us from Chicago with more on this is Doug Cameron of the Wall Street Journal. Doug, this does not sound like a good combination. So many air travelers and an already stretched system. Why don't you tell us about some of the challenges that passengers and airlines face?
Well, Charlie, it's the favorite season for airlines because it's their most profitable. Planes are fuller and fares are higher, as passengers are well aware. This summer, there's the usual snarls that you're going to have in terms of weather, as well as just the crowds. But this summer, yes, there's going to be some extras which you haven't seen in previous years.
Well, to begin with, you know, air travelers are going to be confronted with airport construction at several major hubs.
That's right. There's, you know, there's construction all the time, particularly in summer. That's the weather when the crews can get out there. But what you have this year, you've got a closure at New York's JFK Airport. Runway is going to be closed for several months there. That's already an airport where weather plays a big factor, as travelers know. Another one for vacation travelers is one of the two runways at Fort Lauderdale Airport is going to be closed from the start of June again for 5 months. So it's a double-edged sword, Charlie, that construction obviously ends up with better facilities, but there's a little bit of pain to be taken while they do the work.
Well, are air travelers going to be encountering fewer workers because of labor disputes?
Yeah, labor shortages are going to be an issue in several pinch points for travelers. Air traffic controllers have been in short supply for a number of years. The FAA is actually recruiting, has job ads out. They're not going to be ready in time for summer, so there's possible ATC delays. Another issue is that the TSA is moving some staff from airports and other parts of the organization to help with the southern border, the big push in the southern border. So that's another issue. And then airlines, which have been profitable for a few years, what always happens is that we get new contract time. So there's a bit of labor unrest. Southwest has just reached the deal, actually, with its mechanics, but now up pops American's mechanics. American actually sued its mechanics earlier this week, saying that workers had been working to rule and that was causing some flight delays and cancellations. So that's something else to look out for this summer.
Well, Doug, what about the grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX? That's left carriers with around 100 fewer planes than expected. And, you know, on top of that, it's not known when the MAX will return to the skies.
That's right. So you had something like 60 MAXs grounded. Now, airlines had planned to take more during the summer. So like you say, you're talking about 100 and then another 50 or 60 if you throw in Canadian airlines. Now, that's only 3-4% of the total fleet in the U.S. But what's happened is airlines have had to replace the flights by flying their existing planes longer and harder, safely, of course. But that means that when they get flown harder, there's the chance that they require extra and unexpected maintenance, which can, of course, come during the busy summer season. So they've just less slack to play with if things like weather or other delays come into play.
I was going to ask you about that. Weather-related delays and cancellations always play into the summer traveling season.
Well, here's a bit of good news for a change. Airlines we've talked to have certainly said that the FAA has improved its communications with regard to weather and weather delays. Just more sophisticated technology as well allows the airlines both to plan ahead and to work around to get around bad weather. Airlines have themselves invested more in technology on the weather front. So that's actually an area of potential good news, but obviously a very unpredictable one.
Doug, what about higher fuel prices? Aren't fuel prices, in fact, higher this summer, and that's going to affect airlines' bottom lines? Are they going to pass that on to travelers?
Well, they will eventually, but air fuel has crept up the past few months. That does get passed on into fares. Now, you know, the bulk of the tickets that were sold there for travel in June, July and August are actually sold at the start of the year when fuel was a bit cheaper. So airlines are going to have to eat up a little bit of that in terms of margin. And then what you tend to see is there's a lag, sometimes several months before fares catch up with the level of fuel. So yes, it will hit that most profitable part of the year for airlines.
Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Cameron joining us from Chicago. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Charlie.
And for more on this summer travel season, head to our website, wsj.com. As we look ahead to Memorial Day on Monday, The Wall Street Journal's Michael Phillips has a story featuring some of the recipients of the Medal of Honor, the nation's highest award for combat valor. There are just 70 living recipients who have received the Medal of Honor, and for some, it can be a mixed blessing.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award that the United States has for military valor. And to get it is special. It makes you an instant celebrity, at least in the military world. But it also, I think, for a lot of the recipients, represents the worst day of their life, the day they lost their buddies, the day that they had to do something so extreme that it, just to save the guys next to them. And so every time they look at that medal, it's not just a recognition of the honor that they've received, but also the losses that they've suffered.
During national holidays like Memorial Day or Veterans Day, the Congressional Medal of Honor Society, made up of living recipients of the honor, says it gets up to 150 invitations a week for recipients to speak or appear at events across the country.
A lot of the Medal of Honor recipients have dedicated themselves to trying to represent the values that the medal itself represents. So civic engagement, citizenship, courage, the willingness to sacrifice. And so the recipients, when they travel around the country and they're giving speeches, when they're going to schools in particular, they're trying to infuse those values into the next generation. Because they look around the country sometimes and they think, people have lost their faith in institutions, people have lost their faith in government, people have lost their faith in the country sometimes. And they want more than anything for those values to live on in the next generation.
And you can find Michael Phillips' story on Medal of Honor recipients on our website at wsj.com. That's what's news for this Friday afternoon. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.